Mike Hutchinson is a researcher at Cinema City Education. They've been unearthing the history of how Norfolk's people went to the pictures from the early 20th century to present day. He tells us here about a curious little cinema that opened in 1911 and its even more curious owner, who had more than one enterprising string to his bow.
About 3 years ago, Cinema City in Norwich embarked on a Heritage Lottery-funded project entitled Norfolk at the Pictures. The object of the exercise was to trace the history of cinema going in Norfolk back to its earliest times. It may surprise you to learn that this took us back to 1897, when Queen Victoria was still on the throne. In fact, one of the earliest moving pictures that Norfolk audiences will have seen would have been the elderly Queen's Diamond Jubilee Parade. When the project was completed, we had gathered information and stories about picture houses all over Norfolk, many of which have long since been demolished. That, we thought, was that. When it comes to investigating history, how wrong can you be? The story recommenced with the purchase of two plain pine chairs by a gentleman in Kent, who wanted them for his kitchen. Stenciled on the underside of these chairs were the words Albion Hall, Lynn. He was curious to know just what the Albion Hall was, and hopefully be able to establish just how old the chairs might be. As the story came together, it emerged that the Albion Hall was originally an independent chapel built in 1875 in Broad Street, King's Lynn. It's clearly marked on a street map of the time, just opposite the cattle market and adjacent to a pub called the City of Norwich. The church was in existence until around 1904, when the building reverted to a public hall and the name Albion was established. It was used for various public meetings and recreational get-togethers. In 1911, a man by the name of Mr. D.J. Bertino set up a makeshift cinema in the building. We'd previously been aware of this, but we had very little detail. Who was this mysterious man, Bertino? At various times he described himself as doctor or professor. In The Stage magazine for August 1987, he placed an advert saying that he wanted a good theatre for Herbert and Bertina's All-Star Variety Company. He would demonstrate his Bertinograph, showing 20 first-class pictures, including the inevitable Queen's Procession and the intriguingly titled The Bride Retires, which probably promised more than it delivered. Further research in this direction revealed that in 1903, when in Sunderland, he presented himself as Professor Bertino, the mystic shadow king and master magician. It then became evident that as well as moving picture projection, he had another string to his bow. A lady with the exotic title of Mademoiselle Lumiere was billed as the premier electrical fairy grotto dancer, managed by Mr. Bertino, who produced the spectacular act, The Fairy Grotto. It was described as the most beautiful act of its time. In 1906, the illusion appeared at the Norwich Hippodrome. In 1908, it appeared at the Yarmouth Hippodrome, which at the time was still under the ownership of its founder, Mr. George Gilbert. Mademoiselle Lumiere was billed as the premier original serpentine and fire dancer, with special scenery and electrical effects, under the personal supervision of Mr. Bertino. The act was undoubtedly popular and travelled the country, appearing at theatres and music halls throughout the United Kingdom and Ireland. There is no indication that he was continuing his picture show enterprise until 1911, when he chanced upon the Albion Hall in King's Lynn and opened up his Picturedrome. It was, by all accounts, a very basic affair. Although there were regulations in place to ensure the safety of the patrons, the local council who licensed the building described the situation as quite unsatisfactory, and the whole situation was entirely unsustainable. Film at the time was highly flammable, and projectors had a naked electrical flame. The combination of the two could easily start a fire. It was essential to isolate the projector from the audience in case of an accident. It seems that in 1913, Bertino abandoned his cinema career and returned to his possibly more lucrative stage act. Some showmen of the time thought that moving pictures might just be a fad and a novelty and would be short-lived. Charles Thurston, who built the first cinema in Norwich in Magdalen Street, returned to his original business of running fairgrounds. Some of you will know this cinema as the Mayfair, which ran until the early 1950s. With Bertino's departure, the building sold to the emerging cinema entrepreneur Frederick Holmes Cooper in 1913, who already had one cinema in Broad Street. He set about modifying the building to the latest standards of comfort, with carpeting and comfortable seats, and included the luxury of heating and electrical illumination. Of course, at this time, films were still silent and accompanied by an inventive pianist. The cinema was renamed the Empire, and it included a balcony, bringing the total capacity to 500. It eventually closed in 1929, just before talkies were introduced. We were intrigued by this Mr. Bertino. Searches on the internet did unearth publicity for him and his magic grotto act. A search for a picture came up with just one. It was on a postcard which was in the possession of a dealer in the USA. For only a few dollars, the postcard was soon winging its way to Norfolk. It portrays a very pompous-looking man, resplendent in top hat and tails, and bears the simple inscription, DJ Bertino. Was this our man? We were soon to find out. Turning the postcard over, there was a handwritten message addressed to a Mr. George Cook, who was a theatre proprietor of a music hall in the Midlands. The message read that the author could be found at 9 Gloucester Place in Gloucester Street next week. The card was signed by none other than Flora Lumiere. The card was unstamped and may have been hand-delivered, or not delivered at all. We were unable to find out how it had come into the possession of the collector in the USA. Just another one of the many mysteries in this tale. At least it did confirm that the resplendent gentleman on the picture was our former King's Lynn cinema proprietor. It is possible that Bertino and Lumiere were just stage names. Showmen of the time were given to calling themselves by Italian-sounding names, and Madame Flora Lumiere does sound a little bit unlikely. Lumiere, of course, is French for light. The act continued to tour the halls for many years and was eventually sold to a Mr. J.M. Thorpe of Leicestershire. We found him seeking engagements for, as he describes it, Bertino's Golden Grotto, the most luxurious electrical transformation ever invented. A veritable peep into fairyland. Our story ended, at least for the time being, in wartime Norwich. The annual pantomime at the Theatre Royal in 1943 was entitled, intriguingly, Goody Two-Shoes and the Yellow Dwarf. The Fairy Grotto was a novelty act as part of the show. The Eastern Daily Press critic reported that, by cunning lighting effects, it provides some of the most unusual and delightful sensation a theatre audience could experience. That's all the detail we have. It must have been something special to have entertained audiences for over 35 years. We have yet to find out what became of Bertino and Lumiere. Did he become a rich man? The fate of the Albion Hall we do know. When the Empire closed in 1929 and the audiences continued to go to the nearby Electric Cinema, which had sound, the Albion Hall returned to its former use as a public hall. There are references to it being used as a drill hall for the Territorial Army and as a factory for the manufacture of potato crisps. Photographs show the demolition of this little building in 1967, and we got our first glimpse of the interior. Stripped of the trappings of a cinema, except for a stage with a silver screen, the architecture of the original chapel is revealed. The whole area was turned down and levelled to become the Vancouver Shopping Centre. Broad Street no longer exists. Like all research, the story answers a lot of questions but raises many more. We are still at a loss to know, for sure, in what era our chairs were used. Did they form part of Bertina's Picturedrome, or were they added to the building when it returned to being a public hall? Somebody out there might tell us one day. And what did happen in that magic fairy grotto? Perhaps one of you might know.
If you have any information about the final years of the Albion Hall, Mike would love to hear from you. Also, any other stories about cinema-going experiences in Norfolk, contact can be made to info@cinemacityeducation.org.uk.